Corinthians 4:13. I'm going to continue, not revisit, but rather continue the message that the Lord gave me to bring to you back in, I think it was the October 30th, Sunday, October 30th. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to talk about some things, and I have prayed, and I'm trusting the Lord today that He is going to give us all light. I know He will. He is faithful, and He does it. But that we will catch things that we have not caught before, so that we might live the way that is, you know, the Lord has planned for us to live a good life, a wise life. Amen. And so I'm going to continue because I hear many times the voice of the the young pastor that said to us, the same age of his parents, Jeremy Pearson's, and he said, please do not cut the message short, as it were. Give us what you got that helped you, that changed your life, and that helped you live in victory. And so I find that it's more important than ever that we bring this to the younger generations and that those of us that are of, you know, not anymore in our 20s, 30s, 40s, or even 50s, it is still the message of the hour. And so we're going to talk about the spirit of faith, continuing about that, and about words again, because we've not passed the test. We've not gotten the, you know, some of us don't even have a C yet out of that test. You know, there's too many D minuses and F's. You know, and so praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, say these with me. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Faith always speaks. Amen. If you want a title, you could title it that way. Faith always speaks. It speaks. Faith has a voice. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. You cannot believe one thing and say another. What you're saying is what you're believing. See, a lot of people have deceived themselves. Think of, well, I know it, I believe. But then they go and they open their mouth. But when you open your mouth, your words locate you. They locate where you are. And not to condemn you. Condemnation never comes from the Lord. Never, never, never from the Spirit of God. But not to condemn you, but to locate you, that you might say, okay, what's going on here? I call it, let's get back to the drawing board. Amen? Our faith will never rise above the words of our lips. In order for God to change something in your life, He will have to change your words. Do you want changes in your life? Do you want changes in your home life? Do you want changes in your health? You want changes in your strength, in your stamina? A lot of people, without realizing, always talk about being tired. Well, don't say you're tired and then expect to be full of energy. You may think, oh, that's absurd. Let's look at the Word of God. I'm not bringing you my Word. I'm bringing you the Word of God. Amen? I'm bringing it to me too. For something to change, what you're saying about it will have to change. Amen? For your marriage to change, what you're saying about it will have to change. For your relationship with your children or anyone else to change, what you're saying about it will have to change. For your health to change, what you're saying about it will have to change. For your pocketbook, for your finances to come up, what you're saying about it will have to change. For you to change, what you're saying about you will have to change. God Himself will call you things when there's no evidence that it exists. We have an example of that in Judges 6:12. God caught reading the whole thing yesterday, but I'm not going to go into all of it. I mean, I don't want to because I have a message to give. But for you to know, there's a proof. And this was the Lord talking to Gideon. And Israel was under the oppression of the Midianites. And he was tending to crops and hiding so that they wouldn't know that they had those crops. Because otherwise they would come and burn them or take them away. But his father had sent him. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." If there was one thing Gideon didn't feel like he was a mighty man of valor. He didn't look like it. He didn't feel like it. But God called him. Mighty men of valor. Amen. God saw him that way. God never does anything without saying it first. Then God went on to use him greatly. You have to go and read the whole thing. Wow. Our God. So God never does anything without saying it first. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. God has taught us that. Our Father taught us that. Jesus exemplified it. Faith-filled words or fear-filled words. Faith-filled words will put you over and above. Fear-filled words, they're going to bring you down. They're going to defeat you. People wonder why they're defeated. But they're oblivious to the fact that their words are framing them. They're hanging them. And so these are some of the things that Pastor and I started learning back an hour.
Well, he's three and a half years older than me. So he was in his early 20s and I was in my late teens. But it was really in our 20s when then, you know, we got married and we started really digging into these really deep. He was a little ahead of me. But you know, words, they can divide or they can unite. They can heal or they can hurt. Is that true or not? It's the truth. They're powerful. They're very powerful. Words can encourage or they can discourage. The right word at the right time can lift a person up. The wrong word can just cause all kinds of snowballing effects that are not wanted. God released his faith in words. Our words, what comes out of my mouth all the time, what comes out of your mouth, take inventory of that. Just pay attention to it. Because they show where you are, mentally and spiritually. They show where you are. You know, the Bible tells us we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We don't live to please ourselves. We live to please the Lord. Amen? To have an attitude like, well, just leave me alone. This is my life. I live it like I want to. It's not a Christian attitude. Amen? I know this is maybe not a popular sermon in churches today, where everything is accepted and where everybody wants to be accepted just the way that they are. Now, let me explain that. The Lord will accept you just the way that you are because you come to him and you say, Lord, this is it. But now from now on, I'm not my own boss anymore. Please, Jesus, you be because I've made a mess of it. See, that's the difference. We come as we are. But we don't continue as we are. Because now we're under new management. And it's his will and not mine be done. There's the message of consecration to the Lord, dedication to the Lord, commitment to the Lord. That it's almost like it's a new message now. Because there are too many that have not practiced it, haven't even known to practice it. Mm-hmm. Songs like, have your own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Now everybody wants to be received and accepted. And this is the way I think. And respect me. Well, am I talking to the right crowd? Jesus is Lord. The Word of God is the Word that will never pass away. We're going to love people. We're going to love one another. We're going to do a better job of doing it. But only Jesus has the answers that the world needs today. Only His word will never fail. Amen. Only a life that is established and rooted in the word of God will be unmovable. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So we're talking about words. We're talking about the things that we say, and words being as seeds that produce what they contain. Jesus taught very much about that. And in John 14:12, he said, "He that believes on me, the things that I do, he will do." You see, he said, he will do them also. So they work for whoever applies those laws. Amen? And because they're spiritual laws. I'm going to say something. I'm writing these because I was writing. I didn't have time to type my message. All I had around was a pencil, so I wrote it all in a... Once I got what to do, I was writing these yesterday as I was being a nurse and a wife, wearing other hats. Do you really want all the negative things you've been saying to come to pass? Are you believing for those things? I'm going to get real close to us now. If Jesus came to you personally and he said to you, from this day forward, everything that you say will come to pass. Everything will happen exactly as you say it. Imagine if Jesus came and told you that. Would you change your vocabulary? Well, let's go to Mark 11:23. He told us something. He also told us in Matthew 16:19. I'll just read it and we'll make any comment on Mark 11:23 because we've talked about it a lot and we'll talk about it a lot again. I'm not saying today, but you know, till we don't get an F anymore. Jesus said, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, there's no doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." Did you know that sometimes you don't realize what you're saying, and because you're so used to saying it, your heart is so convinced. Your heart really believes that that's so. And so you say it. And that's what you're getting. You see, I think that a lot of Christians think that I can say, "Oh yeah, I believe this word of the Lord. Oh yeah, 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 the scripture. Oh yeah. This is it, this is it." And then go and say, "That woman is making me crazy. You love me," and all that see, I'm picking on me because I'm a woman. I tell you what, there's a lot of looseness. There's a lot of things that just because everybody says them. A lot of sayings because they're funny. Funny to whom? What results are you getting? Are you liking the results? Men keep saying, I'll never understand women. Okay, I'll agree with you. And women, I'll never understand. Okay, you want me to agree with you about that? All right. All right. Whose words will you establish on earth? Psalm 89:34. God will not alter what he has said. So what will you establish on earth? Whose words? Are they going to be the words of the Lord? Or are they going to be the words that society has fed you? Amen? The scripture, my covenant, I will not break. There are a lot of covenant breakers today because they never entered a covenant really knowing what it meant to begin with. There has not been given... You know, most people today that have no understanding of what a covenant is. But God really does. Our God does. And he says, I'm not going to break. I'm not going to break it. And I will not alter the word that has gone out of my lips. In other words, what he said, he will do. Amen. We have his DNA as his people in us. He is not a quitter, and neither are we. He does not give up on us. He's ever so faithful, so tender, so compassionate. He gives us every opportunity we need. I don't know about you, but the Lord has, he just, okay, he keeps believing in me. Thank God. Yeah. You know, he just does. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on me. He believes I can do it. He believes I'm gonna get it. And he does that with you too. Amen. You're the apple of his eyes. He has invested himself in us and on us and for us. Glory to God. Words are containers. They carry faith or fear. And they produce after their kind. Words produce after their kind. I'm seeing my time. Not that used to preaching Sunday morning, so I don't know what time is Pastor done. Last time he told me that I cut it too short. I said, really? Anyway. Let me tell you something. This is a key. Romans 10:17, you know, many of you know, can quote that scripture, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Did you know faith comes more quickly when you hear yourself quoting the word? It will come more quickly when you do it than when you hear somebody else doing it. Amen? So this is a key. You see, don't, again, we're saying, would You know, we come here and we're here, what, an hour, sometimes a couple of hours on Sunday morning. But then look at how many hours that we have the rest of the week. What are you putting in your heart that is going to come out of your mouth? Or what are you putting in your mouth that will get established in your heart? Amen? To speak the word out loud, to confess the word of God. You know, we call it confession because we are affirming that this is something that we agree with. Yeah. Amen? And so do it where you can hear yourself saying it out loud. And I'm reading these because they're a quote I heard a long time ago by Charles Capps, that the Lord told him that to confess the word is a scientific application of the wisdom of God to the psychological makeup of men. Isn't that good? Say that again. To confess the word of God is a scientific application of the wisdom of God to the psychological makeup of men. It's very good. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. The body of Christ. It's too bad to have to say that the body of Christ has to begin to live. I mean, many of us have been doing this for a long time, but we must continue and we must gather more people to live in the authority of the Word of God, because God's Word is creative power. Amen? It is the creative, it's creative power produced by the heart, and is formed by the tongue. Amen? Released out of the mouth in word form. This is a word from the Lord, a while back. It is my greatest desire that my people create a better life by the spoken word. Take these. This is the heart of God for us. It is my greatest desire, that says the Lord. And there's so much scripture to validate that. The Lord is saying to you personally today and to me, it is my greatest desire that my people create a better life by the spoken word. You want a better life? In every area? The answer is in the spoken word. Men must rise up and have dominion over the power of evil by God's words. There's a lot going on today. You all know it. I don't have to tell you. Some of you may know some things. Others may not know others. You know, those of you that are on Twitter know that Elon Musk produced a bunch of tweets this last week. But the New York Times or those other, media outlets didn't say a word about it. Because they just want you to know what they want you to know. Church is more important than ever. That this is what be our focus. Everything else is fallible. There is so much deception out there. You know, you all know that our children were with us for Thanksgiving, and I'm going to say these for the sake of the, I'm so glad with our young people. And anyway, we were talking, don't you love, just every stage of a parent's life is exciting. As, and then when you see that your children, you know, every stage has its perks. And then when they're grown up and they're wise and they even bring wisdom to you, you enjoy that even more. I don't know, even more. You enjoy it again. You enjoy them again. So we were talking something, and I said, you know, I read these and that. And he said, Mom, and how do you not know that that is not propaganda? I said something, I don't remember now what it was, because I had just read it. I said, oh, yeah, that, what is it that they call the generation now of, like, the teens and the early 20s, Generation Z? Z? Yeah? That they want communism. I said, I read that. And Jonathan said to me, Mom, how do you know that that is not propaganda? You see, they're telling you, and they're telling young people what they want to think. Be careful. Be careful, people of all ages. This is the only thing that will keep you sane. And full of joy. And full of victory. Amen? And that will keep you productive. Don't believe everything you read. The Martians are out to get you. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. My husband is at home laughing right now. I'm telling you these. The Lord says these to us. My word is not void of power. His word is not void of power. Amen. My people are void of speech. These, we learn these from our teachers that taught us when we were young. And let me teach you, God's word is not void of power, but God's people are void of speech. See, the devil has this strategy. Keep God's people's mouth shut. Take the word of God, speak it. Don't just let the devil trump over you and win over you and make you feel like you're helpless. And then you start saying that I can't overcome these and I'm helpless and these. No, no, you're not. I read these. I think it's really good. It's coming to mind now. You know, you're such a new creature. You're so new that the Lord has to tell you who you are. So don't let anybody else tell you who you are, but the Lord, but the one that created you, a new creature. Amen. They, this is a word from the Lord. They hear, talking about God's people, they hear the world and speak as the world speaks. These are God, it was a word of the Lord that Brother Charles Cobbs received decades ago, but so appropriate for today. Look at these. my people is that they hear the world and speak as the world speaks. By observing circumstances, they have lost sight of my word. They even speak that which the enemy says. And they destroy their own inheritance by corrupt communication of fear and unbelief. Be careful what you repeat. Be careful what you say. There is nothing more worth your time than filling yourself with information out of the Word of God. Get it in a version that you can understand. Somebody, you know, I've been asked many times, what's the better Bible? The one you will read. Amen. That's right. Amen. Once in a while, I come up with the thing. Hallelujah. Oh, I got lots of good stuff, but we're getting late. Let me tell you these. This was good. I don't know if I got that from Brother Hagin or Charles Cups or whatever, but I'm giving you, as I received it freely, I give it to you. We read Mark 11:23 a while back, and this was the Lord saying, I have told my people they can have what they say, and they're saying what they have. You know, you can speak to your body. Don't just let your body be attacked. And you take it hook, line, and sinker. There's creative power in your mouth when you speak the word of God. Pain comes. Oh, no, you won't. Jesus took my pain. He took my infirmities. By his stripes, I was healed. Well, I said that once. Oh, you people. I said it once and it didn't happen. No, you see, you got to have it established. Speak the word only. It works. It works. Amen. What you say will keep producing. What you say will keep producing no other crop than what you're saying. Okay, praise the Lord. Because you've set a law, a spiritual law in motion that will confine you to what you can see with the physical eye, because that's what you're talking about. It's what you can see. It's what you can feel. It's what you have experienced. And so you keep saying it, and it's a revolving door. Amen? The correct application of this spiritual law, that you believe it in your heart and you say it. But you see, a lot of people believe in their hearts that it is what it is. That's the word of God. He has his phone on the word. Praise the Lord. Where was I? The correct application of this spiritual law will change even the most impossible situation. Jesus told us. the mountain will be moved. Amen. Jesus told us nothing is impossible to him that believeth. We're walking with a God to whom nothing is impossible. We have nothing is impossible DNA in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the incorrect application will hold us in bondage. You know? And it even cause the circumstance to grow worse. What are you saying? What are you saying? Amen? Faith talks. And when faith talks, it talks faith. Amen? When faith talks, it doesn't talk fear. And it doesn't talk unbelief. This is a very strange message to a lot of Christians. But it should not be. God is a faith God. Jesus is a faith Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a faith Holy Spirit. Amen? So, I'm going to show the scripture, Matthew 8:13. I told you that one. We'll soon be done. I want you to see the scripture because we need to realize that Jesus didn't say it would only work if you believe right. You see, that's what people have thought, well, but no, it doesn't just work when you believe right. Whether you believe right or wrong, still a law. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Amen? As you have believed, whether it be right or wrong, what have you believed? That's the question. Amen? What have you allowed the devil to cause you to believe and to say and to repeat as a result creating an image of a situation? Galatians 6:7, thank you. I didn't even pay her to say that. You don't have to go there, but Galatians 6:7, remember it says that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. I had to learn long time ago, decades ago, I had to realize when I was reading this phrase and it just bounced. Where you are today is a result of the words that you have spoken. None of us want to admit to that. And some would say, I don't even talk that much. But did you know that exactly? There's two coins right here. One is, what is your inner talk? Did you know your thoughts are your inner talk? And what did you do about responding to thoughts that were not from God? Did you speak? What did you do? Jesus said, do not take thought saying. Saying the wrong thing. Because there can be a lot going on in your mind. And you have to answer. You have to answer. Amen? You have to be smart. You have to realize that the devil is subtle. And that if he can't get to you through your thoughts, he's going to do it. If you give him the permission to do it, he'll do it. And did you know not to do anything about it is to give him permission? Can't play dead, dear ones. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The enemy has so programmed the minds of people until instead of resisting him, they have just sort of buddied up with him and begun to talk his language. I'm talking about Christians. Not in this house. Amen. That's what my husband and I said many times. Not in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who should I quit? I think I need to go there. I need to go to quitting. Luke 6:45, just for those that want scripture for everything. Your words either become a blessing or a curse. There's nothing more important to your faith than declaring what God has said about you with your own voice. Declare with your own voice, darling. You may be self-conscious, not comfortable doing it around somebody else. I understand that. Until you get to the point like me that I don't care who's around, it may take a while. And that's fine. But you're going to have to do it when it's just you and the Lord. Otherwise, you'll never be the overcomer that you're called to be. Amen. You're going to have to take scriptures, put them down. You know, I still get so tickled. I hear Brother Copeland regularly, and he still has scriptures on his mirror and here and there. I mean, here is the man that you... But there's some things you don't want to graduate from because they're the life-giving thing. It's the Word of God. Amen. Take scriptures. Post them here and there. You know, do whatever that you want to do. Whatever works for you. But stay on the Word. Focus on it. What you focus on is going to come out. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to finish with these. We're not talking about denying what exists. But you see, when you know who you are in Christ, and you know what the Lord has done for you. Right. When you know, and for those of you that don't know it yet, there's some of you don't know yet. It's okay. We all have to start somewhere. Yeah. But you know what? The more that we go, the less excuse there is to not know. Because, you know, we have a library, a bookstore there full of information for you to know. Yeah. You know, would you use your time doing is very important. We all get 24 hours every day. And time can get wasted so easily. I think we live in a generation where the enemy has it fixed that you know, with all the media outlets that there are, every time that there's a new one that comes up. And time can go just like that. Use your time wisely to benefit you. Amen. I refer to that, what I said is the Lord is my greatest desire that my people create a better life for themselves by the spoken word. Your life's not going to get better. It's not going to... Unless the word of God is what is behind it. Yeah. You know, the other ones, the best way to have a good marriage is when both people love the Lord more than they love anything else, anybody else. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up with parents that gave me enough wisdom to know that my number one requirement for a husband was that I had to see for a substantial amount of time that he was going to put God first, that he was going to love the Lord more than he would love me. You know why that was what I required? Because if he loves the Lord will take care of him if he doesn't treat me right.
Oh, right.
Don't be jealous of God.
Amen.
Being the one that, you know, I'm glad that my husband puts the Lord first.
Amen.
Once in a while, I'll call him and say, Lydia, I'm in time with the Lord. You're going to have to wait. Okay? That's great. Oh, yeah. I don't know where that came from, but it came from. Praise the Lord. I was about to be done. By saying this, we're not denying what exists. In other words, we were talking about speaking what you see with your natural eyes, what you feel, what you observe outwardly. You know, like the example many of you have heard, what would have happened if God, when there was all darkness, had said, well, look at this, it's really dark. But thank God he said, let there be light.
Yes.
But you know what? You're not going to get the A or the B or the C plus, or even the C, by just hearing it one time and then going and not meditating on it, not looking at those scriptures, not talking to the Lord personally and say, Lord, help me to get this. Help me to put this in practice. Amen. Don't treat church. Go there and hear something, then go out, and then I'm going to do my own thing again. We need the Lord.
Yes.
We need his wisdom.
Yes.
We need his input.
Yes.
There's lots of things going on all the time that the Lord would want to spare us from them happening. lots of wrong things that go on, you know, that could be avoided if we listen to his wisdom. But we're going to have to be humble, and we're going to have to go to him every day, no matter how long that we've done it before. Still again. Lord, it's me again. I'm so glad that you're still here, and that you always will be. Amen. I wanna perfect this. I wanna do this your way. I'm not smarter than you. You know, when we do things another way than his, we're actually saying, I'm smarter than you, God. God, you just sit on your throne. Let me handle this. Okay, I better let you go before I get in trouble. Young people, watch what you feed your mind. All of us. All of us. You know, let's not be so proud that we think we got it. Let's be humble. Amen. But you watch what you feed your mind. Just because you want entertainment or you want escape, the devil's seeking whom he may devour. It's not going to be you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I know how to finish this. I finish this by finishing that sentence. You're not denying what exists, but you're establishing what God has said concerning your health, concerning your provision, concerning wisdom, concerning your marriage, concerning your children. Amen?
Amen.
You can either speak what you see, what you feel, what you observe with your eyes, but you can take the word of God and say, I am not going to talk about that subject anymore until I have the word of God about it. And then that is what I will speak. Amen. Faith speaks. Dust off your Bible. And I, you know, thank God, you know, many people like to use their devices nowadays. I have nothing wrong with that. I've used mine too, but I still like to have my Bible as well. I was telling our children and teasing Pastor, because after we came back from Minola, he says, go by the church before we go home. And I said, oh, you need to do something, get something. I need to get a Bible and a book from my desk. So we came. And I said, you know, the 65 Bibles he has at home were not enough. He had to come and get one here. I love you. Amen. I love a man that loves his Bibles.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's word works. Amen. Amen. Well, before we dismiss, if there's somebody around you, that would let you touch them, let's pray for one another. And let's just believe God. The presence of God is here. to encourage, to touch you right where you need to be touched. Amen. Father God, we just thank you tonight. The corporate anointing. Thank you, Lord. It's not tonight, it's this morning. We thank you, Father. You have spoken to all of us. We thank you, Lord, we've gotten a lot this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We ask you that you will explain it to us so that we can really get it. Not just know that we need to do it, but that we will, in actuality, do it. And what a mighty force we will be in Dodge City, Kansas. To the glory of your name, you will be glorified and honored because you're walking amongst your people and in your people and through your people. And so, Father, I call everyone blessed here. I thank you, Lord, if there's anyone that needs physical healing, they receive from you right now. Lord, every need met to the glory of your name. No one leaving this place like we came, but there's something has been added by the Holy Ghost in our lives. And the devil will not steal it from us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, you're dismissed.